Thank you for that. That was fantastic. As I find myself saying, for selfish reasons, I kind of want to start by asking about your compulsion, and I think you addressed it in some ways. Of what makes you run a space? As you said sort of at the beginning, it's been 10 years in Berlin, and Berlin's changed phenomenally in 10 years. And we talked last night about the differences between London, Berlin, talking about Sheffield, the different types of spaces there are in these cities. But I'm always curious because it's, from an artist's perspective, it seems incredibly generous, or that compulsion to organize, manage, oversee, facilitate artists and their shows.
Yeah, well, like I said, there's certainly a selfish element there. I mean, I learn a lot from it. Mm. And it's also no coincidence that I decided to start again after the birth of my son, because I realized I wouldn't be able to actually go out and see as much as I was before. So in many ways, this was a practical thing, and people would be coming to us. Because actually, this is the last iteration, so to speak. The last space is directly next to where I live now and where I work. So it's a very simple setup. And so it's there's that element. But of course, I don't know. I mean, I also wonder about it sometimes, if I'm not being a fool. On one hand, because it's a massive time investment.
Yes.
But it's highly enjoyable as well.
Oh, good enjoyment. That's good. I didn't mean to make you sound like a saint or something, or a fool. Well, you've crossed so many things in this talk. You started off talking about your work, and I can understand the reluctance of deconstructing it or going into, but I was really interested to get the literary and other readings in it. But I liked the way you still didn't give too much away.
Oh,
it's quite good.
I wasn't quite sure if I was doing that.
No, you weren't. But I'm sure some people here might want to know more about that. But you focused more on the space. And I think it's really interesting for people, the differences. I kind of said it quickly in the introduction. What is a project space? What is a gallery? And it's not always so easy as being one is commercial or one is artist driven or led. And even the differences culturally between here, Berlin, Holland, Netherlands are significant. And I don't know how it translates, but I think you kind of give a sensibility of it. And also the history it's come out of in Berlin and the significance of that. I'm conscious this isn't really a question. But as someone who lives in London and also comes here, so I operate between these two cities, I can speak for London. I really mourn the kind of demise of those spaces, that kind of experimentation and freedom. There are some, but they're very few. And there's always a worry that Berlin is becoming like London. It's becoming more commercialized, more international. It's not a question, it's just sort of, I hope it doesn't become like London. I hope it keeps some experimentation to it.
I was skeptical for a while, but actually recently I've become quite a bit more hopeful. I spoke about it before in the workshop, that the project spaces have actually banded together several years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, into the Netzwerk der Freie Szene, which is the network of the free scene, which sounds a bit odd, but it kind of makes sense in German. They pushed in politics for funding, actually, and to my surprise, they actually managed to get it. They organized that there was a prize for project spaces, which is awarded annually to 20 project spaces. And this is a considerable amount. It's 37,000 euros, which is
about 30 something thousand pounds.
Yeah. So that's.
But that's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, yes. For a city state to award that to 20 gallery project spaces is phenomenal.
Yes, but they were. The thing is also that the. If you put that into perspective of what normally, like a council-funded gallery gets annually, it's usually above the full amount of all what all these spaces are getting.
20, yeah.
So it's actually it was a very smart move for them to actually go to them and say, "Listen, you want the city to continue to be like a cultural hub? Do something for this." Element because it's actually cheap and it's politically very smart because you're creating much more goodwill and at very little cost. I mean, if you compare those two things, but the interesting thing is this has not been done before.
Yes. No.
And it's baffling, actually. It's baffling that it's never been done before, but it's also baffling that it worked.
No, it is. It's. We were talking. Yeah, we should open it up a bit. I can see the first question.
I remember many years ago, about 20 years ago, going to the Ruhr Rhine area, Essen, Dortmund, that area of Germany, and visiting many project spaces, art spaces, in the most unusual places. Because the advantage that Germany had was that it had a Bauhaus style, and all the old industrial buildings. They didn't want to demolish them, so to have art projects in them created completely new opportunities.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit surprised, you know, how different is the project space that you've been talking about from the sort of initiatives that were taking place in the Nordrhein-Westfalen industrial areas?
Different.
It's the same sort of thing.
I think so. I mean, there's a continuous line, I think.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
The other question I wanted to ask, the financial aspect. You said you managed to sell the whole exhibition.
No, I didn't.
The gallery over there.
No. It was actually the artist.
The artist. But they started to pay you as well.
We hadn't set a percentage, and we were definitely not going to do it after the fact. So she gave us a certain amount.
I just wondered if that had an impact on the way you then continued.
Yes, because we did then consider the percentage dashboard.
You then get motivated by money, don't you?
I don't know about that, no. It's more that... because actually, it's unusual. It just doesn't happen so often.
True.
A third question.
You mentioned eflux. sorry.
This is... Oh, you wouldn't like... Oh, I think
I just read this article because I'm really stimulated by it. I really find it exciting in terms of opening up a debate about alternative spaces for showing art and a completely different approach to art, you know, outside of the commercial area.
Yeah.
You seem slightly critical of eflux. Did I get it?
No. Just of the what he was saying, the way that he was positing eflux in opposition to, he was positing himself in opposition almost to, or at least trying to separate it from artist-run spaces, which I find it a little bit silly.
Okay.
That was all. Other than that, I think eflux is wonderful, and I think also what they did there with the, with the Holiday Inn.
Yes.
That's exactly the way that many things started in Berlin. It's simply there was a space available, like I said, we had three weeks where he was building his bar. So why not?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, let's open up a bit more beyond the front row. Oh, that was wonderful. Do we have any other, second row, row two?
First of all, thank you. I'm not really sure what I thought about that, but I just wrote down disturbingly fascinating. It's
That's high praise.
Thank you.
Oh, is that your question?
Disturbingly fascinating.
Okay, row three. Brilliant.
Slowly working that. That was such a perfect talk in timing for so many of the students who were just about to go out and set up their own exhibitions anywhere in Sheffield, and this idea of finding spaces that nobody would have defined as a gallery space or a project space, and using that as an impetus in order to make work you wouldn't make unless that set of circumstances had come across. So just perfect timing, very interesting. I love the evolution of your spaces, from project spaces and gallery to and fro. And I would like you to expand a bit more on your relationship to the artists who show in your space, how you define that group that you draw from, whether you work with the artists over a number of months while to evolve what might happen within the show, or whether you find the space and are equally surprised and delighted by what they might produce. What is that relationship? Because presumably, as it is the real impetus, you're interested in having the space. It's not like the work's being sold. Mm-hmm. It is that relationship. So I assume it's a very particular and fundamental part of how and why you're in the spaces.
Again, I tend to do that quite flexibly. It depends on the artist. But yeah, so often there is, of course, the artists need time also to conceive of an exhibition. So often they know, well, actually, to be honest, I don't give them all that much time. Like 3 to 6 months or something like this is more or less the usual thing, not like a year in advance. I don't do that much planning. But then, yeah, we talk quite a bit about what to do, and I visit the studio as well. That's something I didn't really address. I mean, also with the group shows, you'd be surprised how many shows in Berlin are made without studio visits. People simply inviting one another. Oh, I'm doing a show. You want to be in it? Okay. And it makes for a very dynamic kind of scene, of course. But at the same time, you lose something, and I find it important to actually be a bit closer to what's going on. And one of the things that I've been doing, as well as of course writing press releases and so on, together with the artists, usually they provide like a basic. Basically, they provide like 2-3 A4s with thoughts and ideas, and I try to bring that together somehow with what I think about the work. And then ping pong back and forth. So that's another way of getting closer to it. It depends a little bit on the artist, but most of the people that I invite, I don't put too much, I don't really curate in the classical sense, where I say, oh, I think it would be better if you do this or do that or whatever, because I'm an artist, that they know best anyway. But in some cases, I know that there's a certain lack of experience, then yes, I would certainly try to direct it more. But and to come back to, so that's one question. The first question that you asked was the relation, like how I actually connect to these people. Well, several I actually know from art school, that was more or less my starting point when I came to Berlin. I had, I think, 3 people there that, well, two that I knew, truly knew from before, and then I think 2 or 3 that had gone to the same MA program, but that I hadn't met before, but I knew they'd gone there, so then there is some kind of connection. And the others you just meet at openings and so on.
See, it's so it's so interesting for the Asian artists to see how to evolve that network, how to set up opportunities for other artists, and then in turn develop a network where things will be, they will be included in. And it's interesting to understand the organic nature of those networks.
Yeah, what I found wonderful in Berlin is that I didn't feel like I had to present myself on a platter to actually get to know someone, because there wasn't this checking out thing going on all the time. And I think that's actually very important to realize, like, it's not necessary. It's just unnecessary. To trust.
I was going to jump in there, because I made a point earlier about London, Berlin, and the difference of one not turning into the other one. But there's actually in this country, Sheffield sits a little bit apart from that reality of London, and I think that's a really positive thing. And I compare it to Glasgow as a city that has a very healthy art community. A lot of people stay in the city. And I've seen year after year artists, a lot of which have come out of these courses we have, generate that type of community and generate shows. And some of them have gone on and left, and some have left to come back. So I was conscious when saying that about London, Berlin. I don't want you to sit here and think, oh, this is all about Berlin, some phenomena on the other side of Europe. It just exists, as you're describing, amongst people. And the thing, maybe, I talk about the demise of London, that's very much an economic issue with space and everything. And therefore, people who can afford to live in that city, and et cetera, et cetera. But there are cities, and I'd say this is one, where this spirit does live. And I think it's important people recognize that here. Because very often when I left art school, the given was you just go to London, you know, you go to the capital. I think it's got a lot more sophisticated and interesting recent years, where I'm seeing a lot of artists leaving London and coming to cities like this. And so you're getting different generations of networks kind of establishing.
Yeah. That's also something that is, I was thinking about this as well, because in Germany you also have, of course, Leipzig.
I don't know if
it's familiar territory, but at the very same time, like in the 2000s, there was the Leipziger Schule, which is a group of painters, basically, that set up this kind of environment in Leipzig, which is a small town. It's, I don't know, 250,000 or 300,000.
Probably a bit less than here, yeah.
So, but they managed to create a gallery scene there, to create a massive amount of energy there.
Yeah.
And
I heard a really odd thing the other day. Someone's talking about Berlin, and they said, "Oh, people are starting to leave Berlin. Artists are starting to leave Berlin." And I thought they were going to say they're going to Leipzig, because I've heard that for years. And he went, "No," said, "they're going to Porto. They're going to Portugal." I thought, "Wow. That sounds nice. Good wine, hot
Porto
weather."
Is good.
So that's a new thing, apparently. Porto is the new Berlin. Anyway, we should open this up. We've got to row three. Can we push it? Oh, we literally got to one, two, three. Row four. We'll get to the back soon. We'll get to Brian.
Just really quickly, what would you say makes a successful exhibition?
Wow,
that's a difficult one.
That's a very difficult one.
Yeah. Ooh, that's as soon as I think of one thing, I think, for instance, planning can be very important. But then I think, okay, I've had people come in with no planning. They're not the kind of person to do that to begin with, and it's fantastic what they've done. But yeah, usually planning does help. guts, I guess. I mean, you have to also put yourself out there to an extent. So you have to actually...
No, I'll stop you now for that. Unless you really want to say something else, but that's brilliant. Planning and guts, that's really good. Yeah. Great. Next question. Row 5. I see Catherine there behind you. Maybe she wants to ask. Oh, she's going to the mic. Oh, no, she's not. And we're going to skip to row 6. Oh, I thought that was going somewhere. That's just... The microphone was just travelling over there. Oh, O'Brien's just waving. It's coming out. You better think of something.
Thank you. I'm interested in this idea. I've been to talks, it's not a criticism of you, where people describe being outside the infrastructure of the art world, and there's been a hint of that in what you said. But for people maybe see you, they see you as being in that infrastructure. And although I realise you've not disavowed it or yourself, you know, you're saying it's okay to oscillate. Is that the reality that people actually move in and out of the conventional art world and through project spaces and independent stuff? Whereas people tend to see it as a binary.
In Berlin it is. I can't really judge for other cities or countries, but I think generally yes. It's and it's also, I mean, there's a tendency to simply see, like, there's a term actually for it. It's called the farming system. So basically, you know, I'm the farm and I bring the, you know, we create the stuff to be brought to the slaughterhouse, which is the commercial part. I don't believe in that at all. And I think it's also, but of course, it's very much dependent on how people define themselves. I mean, if anyone that has a certain measure of success says, "Oh, I'll have nothing to do with that anymore," then that's over. Then you play into that dichotomy, which is, to me, it's like I don't really believe in it. And I think it's really important I think most artists understand that the difference is not that big. I mean, there's also like the Marcus Gutmann that I showed you with all the drawings. He still lives in council housing in some little thing. He paid for the show because he sold, I think, 4 works to Thomas Scheibitz, who's shown at the Venice Biennale, I don't know where. He's like, I think that's great. I mean, that's something that's necessary, like to actually understand that there isn't such a big difference, that there is actually, that you have a role to play as well. I mean, as if, you know, people who are successful, that they can actually support things. They can support other artists as well that they respect. And yeah, so
fortunately we have to vacate the room now. But let's thank you.